You are listening to Water Online Radio. Coming to you live from Boston, Massachusetts and ACE 2014, uniting the world of water. This broadcast is brought to you by Water Online Radio, the voice of the water resource and recovery industry, and WaterOnline.com, enabling water and wastewater professionals to make informed decisions. Water Online, now that's clear. And now, here are your hosts, Todd Schnick and Todd Youngblood.
This is Todd and Todd live from Beantown. Good afternoon and welcome back to Water Online Radio's live day three coverage from ACE 14. Todd, had the pleasure of interviewing this gentleman at another show just last year, but always enjoy our conversations with the Henry Pratt Company.
Well, there's that, and repeat guests, you learn a little bit more the second time than you do the first time, so we can do some follow-up questions here.
Absolutely. Let's welcome back Tim Fallon to the show. He's a product manager with the Henry Pratt Company. Tim, welcome back.
Thank you for having me back on the show.
It's always our pleasure, Tim. Good to see you. Remind the audience, I'm sure they're familiar, but take a few seconds and tell them about the Henry Pratt Company. What do? How do you serve your market?
Henry Pratt Company is a manufacturer of flow control equipment for municipal, primarily municipal water. We manufacture many different types of valves, isolation valves, flow control valves. We try to provide as much product to our end users as possible, so we're ever expanding, always looking for new product or enhancing the product, you know, just improving the stuff that we have on the shelves today.
Pipeline water main breaks, huge problem, but a fact of life.
That's right. Happens all the time.
Yeah. After I have one of those problems, I'm a water utility guy. What should I be thinking about in terms of valves as I design my replacement system?
You know, the water main breaks could be a function of many different reasons. Heaving, soil, or in our case, in my world, it would be quite possibly closing a valve too fast. There's a quick and easy understanding of line velocity versus pressure surge when a valve does close. It's like you're trying to stop a freight train in half a second, and you can really produce some pretty significant pressure spikes. So what we try to educate the utilities with is that you're looking to try to close the valve as slow as possible. Sometimes that translates into a significant amount of mechanical advantage in the operator, because so many minutes of operation or so many turns, as we call it in the industry, to open or close a valve, depending on the pipeline size, you want to close it slowly. You don't want to close it fast, or you can have that surge phenomena occur. So what we try to do is provide the right amount of mechanical advantage for the size valve, so that you can have a very slow operating product. And also it helps that you don't employ a closure rate that would almost look like on a graph a 45 degree angle. What we try to provide is what's called a characterized closure, which means that in the amount of degrees open, it takes a lot long and more turns to close the valve as it goes further closed, and that slope actually tapers off and will provide, you know, that's, you can see the mechanical advantage increasing at the very end of the closure, end of the degrees closed. So we try to provide that so that in the event you have an overzealous operator out there, you know, operating that valve and they're spinning that wrench, you don't want them to slam that thing shut. So we make it as error-proof as possible as we can, so that they can not produce any kind of surge and you know, break the pipe.
All right. If you're just joining us, we're speaking with Tim Fallon of the Henry Pratt Company. Tim, there are applications that require high velocity and pressure, and applications that require low velocity and pressure. So, two-part question: what valves are appropriate for each?
Well, it depends on if you're using them for isolation purposes. When you have a high velocity, not everybody wants to employ a high velocity line, because you can always kick up the debris that's in the pipeline. That's almost like when you have a fire event. You're moving water really fast because you got to deliver it to the burning building. And so when you have valves in line and you're going to see that kind of velocity, you want to have a valve that provides the least amount of impedance or the least amount of head loss, so that you can deliver that water, that volume, that high volume of water. The idea is that perfect valve would be a ball valve or a valve that has no obstruction in the line. Ball valves have very little head loss. They're almost equal to a commensurate length of pipe. Butterfly valve, you're always going to have the valve, the disc in the line. One of the more, and we try to pride ourselves on the fact that we have a very high flow coefficient, or what we, in our industry, we call the CV, which is the coefficient of flow. We have very high CV values for all of our products because we understand the nature of the beast, and you want to be able to have a good solid isolation valve in your line. And most of the time it's going to be a butterfly valve or a gate valve. Our parent company, Mueller, sells a lot of gate valves, and they provide a very good, effective isolation valve and a really high CV. Unfortunately, you know what? They don't really, if you don't operate them or exercise them, they kind of seize up and freeze up, and that's not a good thing. So the more cost-effective solution is to provide the butterfly valve for those high-velocity, high-pressure applications.
Tim, not all technology is spread around and deployed where it really ought to be. Are there some valve technologies that are underutilized or not utilized in the water industry?
Yes. We use butterfly valves in a lot of applications. And a lot of times, you know, for isolation, it's a great product. But a lot of times people will want to use a butterfly valve or what we'd say just generally an isolation valve for throttling or modulating applications where you don't want to have the whole flow go through the line. You're trying to either produce back pressure for one reason or another, like on a pump discharge application, you try to keep the pump on its curve. You're going to try to increase that back pressure so that the pump doesn't run off its curve. In those applications, or in quite possibly a backwash application at a water treatment plant, they're throttling the valve so that all that water doesn't come rushing through the pipe. What happens is, especially in a high differential application, you're going to start to cavitate the valve. And cavitation is very damaging. It's a lot of energy that cavitation can produce. And you can almost start to destroy the valve or the downstream piece of pipe. So what we try to educate the end user or the engineer on is throttling valves. We have a couple different throttling valves, or what we call energy dissipating valves, that are very effective. They don't produce damaging cavitation, and they do a very good job. Now, understandably, they come with a cost to them, and the cost differential versus a butterfly valve is going to be a little bit significant. But you got to look at it like this. If you're going to put a butterfly valve in there, you're most likely going to have to remove it in a couple of years because it's going to burn itself up or the downstream piece of pipe. So why don't you employ the energy dissipating throttling valve now, and you'll never have to repair that valve or that line again.
Now, I trust that here at ACE 14 in cahoots with Mueller, you're exhibiting here, and we've talked about a lot of scenarios, a lot of valves today. What are you principally showcasing here at the show?
We're principally showcasing the plunger valve, which is one of those energy dissipating valves that I just brought up, the ball valve, the butterfly valve, check valves. We have a couple different types of check valves, so many different applications warrant one or the other. And Mueller is showcasing the thin-wall duct-to-line resilient wedge gate valve, which I think is a great product. The fire protection line of their scope of supply, and also a couple burgeoning technologies such as in-pipe leak detection brought to you by Echologix. So they've got a lot on their plate, a lot to show, so it'd make a show person worthwhile to stop by the booth and see what's going on in the Mueller booth, Mueller Pratt booth.
Goodness, Todd, Echologix, Pratt, Mueller, what a team. Holy
overwhelming.
Something else, huh?
Holy Mary.
Well, we're going to dominate.
Yeah, absolutely. Tim, we're out of time. Before we let you go, how can people learn more about the Henry Pratt Company?
Well, they can go online and go to www.henrypratt.com, search through that, and the same thing with Mueller. Mueller Co. Mueller is on the website, too, so have at it.
All right, Tim Fallon, product manager with the Henry Pratt Company. Good to see you again.
Thank you.
And say hey to Dan.
Yep.
All right. That wraps this broadcast. On behalf of all of us at Water Online, this is Todd and Todd. Water Online Radio's live coverage from ACE 14. We'll be right back.